you got your Bible, let's quickly this morning. I will preach fast if you'll listen fast. Turn to 2 Kings chapter number 1. And for the sake of time, I'm going to only read one verse of Scripture and do a little exposition of this passage and deal with this story that we'll be facing today. And I want to say this, I will preach this morning to the men because they need preaching. Amen. And will the ladies say amen? Well, that week, I'm going to preach to the men because they need preaching. And will the ladies say amen? Amen. That's better. And will the single women say amen? Well, I don't know if she said amen or hey man. Y'all get that later. I want you to look at that verse number 7, and I'm going to preach from this verse. And he said unto them, this is Ahaziah speaking to his servants, what manner of man was he? Someone help me. What manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? I want to preach on this theme this morning. What manner of man are you? What manner of man am I? Somebody help me preach. In this day we are living, we need some men not following the normal course. And by the way, if you'll be a man like God wants you to be, you will be in the minority. Someone help me preach. Within this story, we meet a wicked man. And by the way, they are a lot of wicked people in this world and a lot of wicked men that live ungodly and debased lives of debauchery. And we are faced in this story with a man such as this named Ahaziah. If you want to know about him, just look at verse 51 of the previous last chapter of 1 Kings, and it'll really tell you a lot about him. Ahaziah was the son of Ahab. He began to reign over Israel and Samaria. The 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he only reigned 2 years over Israel. And here's all you need to hear about him. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father. That was Ahab. And the way of his mother, and that was Jezebel. And in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. Really don't have to know a lot of Bible to see right there he was a wicked, ungodly man. But I want to tell you what happened to this wicked, ungodly man. He was up in his bedchamber. And I don't know exactly how it was built. It may have been on the second floor. And it had a lattice there. And I don't know how he was acting. Oh, I know the Bible says, and I'm not going to be extra biblical or try to put in my mind something extra biblical, but the Bible said he fell through the lattice. Now he was on his sick bed, ready to die. And here's what he done just before he died. He sent his servants. Now listen to what he said. All you got to look is verse 3 and verse 6. He sent his servants to seek help from Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, a false god, an idol, an unholy thing, and he wanted to hear from him. Now, here's what would happen. I'm trying to go quick, but this is a good story. On their way down the road, and they didn't stay near as gone long as he thought they should have been. On the way down the road, they meet up with Elijah. Amen. And Elijah said to him, why are you going down to that false god? By the way, somebody ought to stand up today in America and say to America and say to our men, why are you going to the world for answers? Why are you trying to find answers in every place except God's will? Amen. Amen.
Yeah. That's good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, boy. By the way, Elijah and Ahaziah's daddy had a history. Y'all know they had a history. And I tell you what Elijah said to him. Said, you might as well just go back up there and tell him he's a dead man walking.
Right.
And by the way, this is the same Elijah that Ahab said he troubled Israel. He's the same Elijah that shut off the rain and then turned the rain back on by prayer. He's the same Elijah that called the fire down from heaven. Somebody help me preach. He had a testimony. In this time, we're looking for men with bigger muscles, larger intellect, people with better business plans. But we don't need that. We don't need more politicians. And we don't need more extravagant lifestyles. And we don't need to pattern ourselves after movie stars or entertainers or LeBron James. Somebody help me preach. We need men with a testimony. And I want to give you three things, and I hope you jot them down. Right from this passage, I won't go anywhere but from the Word of God. If you're going to be the man that you should be, there's three things you must do. Number one, in verse 3 and verse 6, you need to be conscious of God's perspective.
Amen.
What are you saying? Instead of looking at it and looking at life and your decisions through your flesh, you need to look at what God wants you to do from His perspective. Come on, somebody help me here. You know what I see? I see folks that they go every place possible but to God for direction. Somebody help me preach. You said, what was he conscious of? Number one, I'll tell you what he was conscious of. He was conscious of the rightful jealousy of God. Why are you going? Why are you going to Baal for answers? Why are you going to that wicked God for answers? I want you to know my God is a jealous God. And it's rightful jealousy. When we're jealous, we want something that doesn't belong to us. But when he's jealous, he wants something that does belong to him. And that his praise, that his glory, that his honor. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to honor God and look at God's perspective. Somebody help me preach. Number two, not only his rightful jealousy, but God also his righteous judgment. Now, I don't want to shake y'all up, but God had the right to kill him. Boy, it's crying here. And I don't want to upset you, but God has the right to kill us. Whew. See, I want y'all to know something. I know God's a God of love. He's a God of mercy because I'm a great example of that. But I want all y'all to know God's a God of justice and judgment. I want you to know he will judge premarital sex. I don't know how. He will judge those that are killing babies, 1.3 million babies in America. Somebody help me preach. He will judge homosexuality. See, I'm talking about a God that has a right and a righteous judgment.
Amen.
I want to share a couple illustrations, or at least one. I've been here 43 years, just about. It's been about 40 years ago. It's so long, Rich, it was when I was up in the other building. Now, you got to remember something. Sometimes preachers don't know who's coming in their congregation all the time. And since you got your mask off, how you doing? I want to introduce myself to you. But 40 years ago, I preached a sermon. I want you to hear this. On David and Bathsheba. And I said in the message that God sent a fourfold judgment to David. Is that right, isn't it, brother? Dr. Harrison, he did. I did not know who was in the audience. I never know whose ears are here. But all I do know, I got a call on Monday morning. Somebody that I had been ministering to that was visiting. And they had went through a great tragedy in their home. They lost some children at childbirth. And this one person came to me. They're dead and in heaven, and they were a good person. But they came to me and said, can I meet you? And I said, sure, come on. I've been wanting to visit you and your husband. Is he coming? No. And they came to me, and they sat down across from me. And this dear person said, Pastor, what you preached Sunday was me. And I just had the judgment of God on me. And I ain't judging that. They said that to me. And I just got God's judgment. I feel. I'm not saying she did or didn't. I'm just telling you what her words. She said, I'm in sin right now. Would you help me get out of it? Can I get right with God right here in your office? And I led her back to Christ. And she was in a mess in her marital relationship with other people. And she said, will you personally break this up so I'll do right? And they all don't want me to do that. I got on the phone, called the person who was an influential person, could have got my head cut off. And I said, God has brought judgment, and I want you to know, I want you to leave this person alone, and if you don't, I'm going to go see your wife. Boy, it's quiet in here now. You know what that woman said? She verified everything I just preached, that God has a right to judge. And I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if we start making the wrong decisions and doing the wrong things, I've got a God that can set us all in line. I've got a God that it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of God. I want you to know I'm not going to get revenge. I'm not going to try to get vengeance. But he did say, vengeance is mine. I will repay.
That's right. That's right, preacher.
Good preacher, Reverend. Yep. Secondly. And by the way, I had permission to give that illustration or I wouldn't have done it. This person gave me permission 20 years ago to give this illustration. I would never have done that without permission. They're now in heaven. Secondly, a real man of God is characterized by a godly pattern.
Amen.
How many believe that a real person, a real man, will have godly pattern? Well, let me give you two or three things about this guy. First of all, in verse 7, he said, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you the word? Here's what they said to him. And they answered him, he's a hairy man.
Amen.
In other words, he had a distinctive look. By the way, men ought to look like men.
Amen.
And women ought to look like women. Somebody say amen. I'm preaching. God, when he made man and woman, he made male and female. He made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. He was a hairy man. He had hair where it's supposed to be. He made a logical, spiritual, biblical decision to serve God. I see some of these men. with her britches hanging down here, looking around. And I want to tell you something about that distinctive look. Y'all help me here. He had a strut and not a switch. Some of y'all get that in about 20 minutes. Good preaching, Reverend. Then he was a hairy man with a leather girdle. I'm talking about a real heavy belt. He had a distinctive look. I don't want to. And I know some of you skinny guys can do this and wear your little tight things. Somebody asked me one day, would you wear a pair of tight jeans? I don't even want to wear them. I'm built like two ice cream cones put upside down. What would I look like? I had one young man that was wearing one of them. I said, what are you doing? Are you out of your mind? He said, well, LeBron does it. I said, he ain't the goat anyway. Somebody help me preach. I said, hey, don't pattern yourself after some lunatic or somebody in the world. You dress right. You look right. You look distinctive. Good preaching, Reverend. He had a direct language, too. He said, tell the king he's going to die. You know what? It wouldn't hurt some of us to just be direct and say, I'm standing for God. Somebody say amen. And he had a demonstrative lifestyle. He didn't have a problem confronting people. Now, Dr. Harrison, since we've been friends a long time, you fit that pattern. Especially when you was young. Because you helped set an example for me. And I'm not saying that out of foolishness. I remember when James and Julie was just little kids. Little ones, Rich, I mean. And I don't even know if Julie remembers this, probably don't. But they were out to a restaurant with me. And I was sitting in the booth with them and Marguerite. I know this is going to come on. And there's somebody using the F word in one booth behind me. And I understand that's their space. But what happened, Rich, their space got over in my space. And I walked over and I wasn't looking for a fight. But I walked over and I said, I've got, I believe, a 6-year-old and a 5-year-old at the time. They may have been a little older. I said, sirs, there's 4 men. I said, I got a 6-year-old and a 5-year-old over there. And I don't want them to hear the F word. Now, if y'all want to whisper it over here, you whisper it. But would you not do that anymore?
Amen.
Yeah. Come on, preacher. I wasn't ugly. I didn't pick no fight because I was on the losing side. Them boys will whoop the devil out of me. And one of them, who I know is the most vocal one, looked at me and said, I'm sorry. And you know, even some worldly, bad, ugly people, if you address them right and take your stand, probably won't react crazy unless you act like a lunatic. Somebody help me preach. I tell you what we need. We need some people. Hey, I know. Let me tell you men something here. Your wife is begging for you to lead. And I'm going to tell you something, bozo. You need to lead. Lastly, I'm done. Boy, I really wanted to preach a long sermon this morning, but I'm being mindful of y'all. Lastly, he was consistent in a God-centered performance. Now, let's look at this exchange. Here's what happened. The angel of God, here's what happened, Chad. The angel of God told Elijah to tell the servants, and then the servants went and told Ahaziah, he's toast. He's going to die. And now Elijah, in the story, go read the rest of the chapter, goes up on top of the mountain. He's in a dangerous predicament. By the way, you be kind of man you ought to be, you will get in a dangerous predicament. And here's what happened. Ahaziah sent a captain with 50 people up to get Elijah. Y'all know what happened? Elijah called on God, and God sent fire and burnt the whole crowd up.
Amen.
Yep. He didn't. And then, Ahaziah sent another captain, and he went up with his 50. He went. Elijah done called on God, and God burned that crowd up. And that ain't all the story. And then they sent up a third captain with his 50. Already seeing what happened. And you know what he done? He went, oh, man of God. He bowed himself to the preacher. I tell you what, I've seen my buddies burned up. I'd bow myself to the preacher too. Said, would you please come down here? And the angel of God said, okay, go on down. Somebody help me preach. See, he was in a difficult position, but he went on down. He was going to a demanding person, but he went on down. Somebody help me preach. Can I get some folks? Can there be some men in this room just live a consistent life? How many believe that's great? How many believe on Father's Day we need that? I could only imagine somebody listening on live stream on Father's Day, or if they was a visitor, I know this Australian man ain't gonna do this. Go to work tomorrow. Said, well, how'd your weekend go? Well, I was chilling. And then he looked at the other boy and said, well, how'd your weekend go? Well, I went to church on Sunday morning. Well, says, which church you go to? He said, well, I couldn't remember. I can't really tell you which one I went to. Well, what was the preacher's name? Be quite honest with you, I don't know what his name is. Well, what did he say then? Oh, I know what he said. Amen. He said, men ought to dress like men. Women ought to dress like women. And people ought to be members of church, ought to pay their tithe. And they ought to live right. And he's kind of loud. And he was kind of demonstrative. And he was wide open. And I kind of liked him.
Yeah.
Well, he said, I know where you went. You went down to 3926 Tays Valley Road. And you heard Big John Smith preach. And he is crazy. And he is wild. But I do tell you, he's a man of God. By the way, hey, all you got to do is can I describe you that way? And say, you're that way. And they'll know who you are because of my description of you. Somebody help me preach. I'm done. Whew. I'm done. What kind of man are you? Is that all right? Are you a consistent man? Are you characterized by a godly pattern? Hey, are you conscious of God's perspective? Maybe you're here and this morning you're not even saved. Bow your head with me. How many in the room say, Preacher Smith, I know if I died today, I know I'd be in heaven. Raise your hand high. Hold my pie. Thank you. How many men in this room would say, Preacher, I need to get closer to God. Those 3 points you made, I need to be more like that. I want to take a stand for God. I don't want to be foolish, but I want to be a man of God. How many men in this room just up here, put your hand, say, I could do much better, and I need prayer? All of us. I wonder how many of you this morning on Father's Day, some around this altar, just dedicate to God that you're going to be the man you ought to be. Stand with me. Our Father, I pray you speak to daddies. I pray, God, that you move on them. And Lord, I pray that you touch them. And Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, help us in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Are you coming?